This is the Leapcast, where we talk about how today's current events impact your real life. If you are tired of politics, or you are just exhausted from the spin, this show is for you. My name is Andrew Lieb, and every week I host a talk radio show breaking down the news from an independent point of view. We discuss real estate, business, and your health, hear from the experts, and learn the truth on the Leapcast.
Personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Lieb.
It's the Triggered by Vitriol show now, Alex.
Here we are.
Here we are. We brought in a special guest for this because I feel like we are often just triggered. Like everything's like, and people come at each other and scream at each other and no one gets to the point. So my man, Alan Finkel, who's this divorce mediator and extraordinaire, knows how to stop crazy people. Like there's nothing more crazy than divorcing spouses.
He's an expert in cutting through the bullshit.
Exactly.
He's such a calm guy, he seems like. I just met him today. But he's such a calm guy. I feel like that's perfect.
Yeah. I wanted to have, you guys wanted a therapist. Maybe we'll do that in the future. But I thought that this was a good start last week. We were talking about it, that what is vitriol and what is triggered by vitriol? Like, well, let's introduce the show and then we'll go into it. But Alex, I think that like you could be the vitriol girl if you want and go with whatever you want to say vitriol is.
Okay, we're defining vitriol. So
you use your words. You don't need to use my script.
No, I am going to use the script. I like it. Violent hate and anger expressed through severe criticism.
Let me give you an example. So I was on Newsmax this week. And it's not because it's Newsmax. I'm just...
This is all for Andrew to be able to lash out at his
Wait,
haters.
Can I do the synonyms just really quick?
Go for it.
Bile and invective. That's pretty nasty.
That's invective. I like that word.
Invective is a nasty word. Yeah.
So we put up some posts because whenever we do TV, we put up some clips from what we're on TV. And the judge in the Trump fraud case contradicted Trump, just to remind you. So Trump comes out after, I think it was day one, maybe it was day two, and he goes, the judge threw out 80% of the claims today, and he's like doing a victory lap, and people are saying he has his hand up in a fist, like he's doing black power or something like that. He's all excited.
The judge or Trump?
Trump.
Oh, okay.
The next day, Trump, the judge basically says, Trumpster, that's not what happened, dude. Like, didn't say that at all. What I instead said was they were giving testimony from this guy, Bender, who's an accountant. And Bender was testifying to what happened in the years 2011 to 2014. And all the judge said for anyone who's done a trial before is you better tie this into something within the statute of limitations because the statute of limitations starts in 2014.
Right.
So the judge wasn't saying things from 2011 weren't relevant. He just said, I need to show that the fraud, these tax documents you used, you reused in some sort of fraud in the future. So the judge didn't say
any fraud committed during that time period would not be part of the lawsuit.
Unless
but if,
it's connected.
But if those documents or something that were used in that fraud were again used after 2014 in the statute period, then that could be
100%. And the judge said it to Trump's face in the court. And if you notice, Trump went home, he cried, he put his head down, he's not in court anymore.
Do you think he's ever cried?
I do. I think he.
I don't think he's ever cried.
No, he like whimpered out.
Morty,
they took a break. He left. They weren't sure if it was 10 minutes. He gets on his jet and he goes home. Like it's like he took his blankie and he goes, I'm leaving now. I'm going to my room.
He might not cry. He definitely pouts.
I think he cried when he was a baby, though. He definitely cried.
Yeah, for sure.
And then he just gave it up.
He's like, this isn't for me.
It's not for me.
What we're dealing with is repressed tears.
So we put this up on Instagram and on TikTok, and we have something like between the two, 50,000 views so far. But this is the type of vitriol I get in response, which motivated the show Triggered by Vitriol. Look at this unhinged, and they have a face of a clown, this unhinged clown, drooling over a local judge that I will bet you all your two brain cells, the appeals court will overturn this under one day, happy face, happy face, happy face.
Well, that meets the definition.
Yeah, and so I get these comments, hundreds of them, not like a little, like people just spew, like, how do we trigger someone? And I actually think, maybe you know, Alan, I think it was Donald Trump Jr. wrote a book called Triggered. I think it was him. And the whole point is owning the libs and how do you trigger people and what do you do? And what we've decided at the Leapcast, and I don't know if this is something you all agree to, but we think that triggering people is bad for the world, bad for society, gives me a bad buzz, doesn't help me feel cool and happy.
Yeah.
It's the wrong energy. It's like what people do when they go see Finkel over here. They're all triggered by each other, and they can't express what's actually in their mind, what's actually in their emotion. They can't get to the actual facts that will make their life better. They're just spewing shit.
It's unproductive, I would say.
That's the key word. Mm. So we're going to make it productive. Here's what we're going to do. We have three main questions. Why did the person get triggered? That's the first question we want to know.
Why?
What issues are they really talking about? And then how do we, the three of us, the four of us, the five of us, we have the producer, Lauren
experts
here.
Experts that we
she's
are.
Like, she's like throwing fingers like, you do this, you
I'm
do that.
I'm still in the background, everyone.
Lauren, you got to talk
she's
in the mic.
She's always here. She's always here.
She's present, ever present. What we're going to do is we're going to have a productive conversation. And since we're on Trump today, I'm going to show you my favorite. There's a bunch of vitriol I have, but I have my favorite vitriol. I'm going to let Alan Finkel right here start off with the vitriol. This is the thing, just so you know. If you heard, Judge Engeren.
Judges' names are always so hard.
Right.
It's the hardest part of the podcast.
Cheryl knows him.
Does she?
Yeah, he's from Greyneck, apparently. We should have asked her how to say his name. Judge Engeren issued a gag order.
Mm-hmm,
and this is the truth tweet X, whatever Trump does, that got him there. So I'm going to show Alan what it is. And Alan can read it to us all, and we're going to see what we're hearing here, Alan. This is the one. So it's been, just interestingly enough, it's been ordered by the judge to be taken off of social media. So Judge Engeren, we don't mean this to disrespect your order. We're just doing it for a purpose of, as they say in copyright law, fair use. But Alan?
Schumer's girlfriend, Allison R. Greenfeld, is running this case against me. How disgraceful, exclamation point. This case should be dismissed immediately, 3 exclamations.
The whole thing. Throw it out. Throw the whole friend out.
What was the reason for the gag order? Because this isn't a jury trial.
Well, I'm going to tell you. So there's a post underneath. That was Donald Trump, Donald J. Trump, at Real Donald. He's posting about calling Schumer's girlfriend, Allison R. Greenfeld, is running this case. Allison Greenfeld is the chief principal law clerk for the judge. And there's a picture underneath, Morty, if you see, Shumi Baby is with Allison. So maybe
Shumi Baby.
So how does he know her?
I don't know, but they're not like embracing. Do you see that sexualized, Alex? No, they're just standing
next to each other.
I don't get, Alan, do you get girlfriend vibe from that?
Well, I don't see where his hands are.
Yeah, maybe his hands.
No,
but
I read it as neutral.
Neutral, right? It's just, he's a politician. He's standing next to someone. There's a picture.
Chucky Baby.
So
that's why he wears his like glasses on his like nose.
Oh, why?
So he can look at her.
Ooh.
Oh, Morty, that's different soft. Angle. Okay.
So Trump's putting out.
Alan likes that. He's smiling.
Trump's putting out that this girlfriend and by in kind Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader for the Democrats, is behind his case. And the case should be dismissed because it's the Democrats and Chuck Schumer doing it. So I'll start off with Morty's question, then we'll get to the vitriol. Morty asked, why is there a gag order? Well, what the judge is doing is the judge said originally nothing when Trump said terrible things about Judge Engeren. The judge said nothing when Trump said terrible things about the case. The judge said nothing when Trump said terrible things about the prosecutor. He's made racist remarks against the prosecutor, the Attorney General Tish James. Where the judge drew the line, and I happen to agree with the judge, and this is what I was saying in the clip that we put up on social media, is that Trump attacked his staff, meaning that you have a job when you're a boss that when your staff starts getting attacked, you have to stick up for your staff. A lot of people like to say the customer's always right. And I disagree with that. I think your staff is always right.
Yeah.
And you got to stick for your staff. Yeah. You got to back your staff.
Walk that walk.
I agree. But what legally gives him the right to do that?
Well, we'll talk about that. But the gag order, just to be clear, Morty, and I will get to your question. Yeah. The gag order is just about making comments about the staff. It has no restrictions on talking about the case. It has no restrictions about talking about the judge.
Is it just no personal attacks on the, staff?
That's it. Oh, like, okay. Leave the staff alone.
Seems reasonable.
Just respect for human beings.
Yeah.
Seems like, pretty basic.
The judge is having a relationship with her?
Well, maybe Chucky Baby might be like, get offended.
Morty, you're very controversial today.
So anyway, let's start off with why Trump is trying to get us triggered. Like, what's his goal here? Like, I think that's why are we getting triggered right now by what he's doing? Anyone have any ideas? Like, anyone think, what's Trump's motivation for this post? Anyone?
Bueller. Like,
I think he's trying to paint it that this is a political thing. He's trying to make this politics and look at this as a fundraising to do a campaign opportunity. Like, and he's saying, hey, I could trigger the Democrats and trigger my own people to think that Democrats are doing political prosecutions and go after them. And
this is an interesting one.
Yeah, he just takes it way too far. Like, if he wants to talk about Democrats being behind this, all he needs to do is talk about Tish James on her campaign. She said, I'm going to go after Trump. I'm going to go after Trump. He should just stay there because that would be a good argument for selective prosecution.
But you just said what he's really talking about. That's exactly what I was saying.
Yeah.
What is he really saying? Like, forgetting all this triggering nonsense, and that's what I want to talk about. And Alex and I agreed last week when we were doing this, if he would have framed this differently, it's a conversation I might have wanted to have.
Yeah.
Like, him attacking this law clerk and saying she's having a sexual relationship with a politician and consequently the world's coming to get him just makes me feel like he's a fool and I want to press mute on the guy. Like, I envision him crying with his blankie and going home because he's starting this triggering nonsense of vitriol in our society, Morty. But if he would have instead written, and exactly what you're saying, what are they really talking about? Is this a selective prosecution? Is that illegal? And if it's not, should it become illegal? That's a conversation I would like to have. So I think that Trump is onto something. It's a very smart thought. The thought is there selective prosecution going on here? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Is that something that he could move to dismiss on? And assuming it isn't, should we change the law to make it something that you should be able to move to dismiss on?
Right, because he's kind of suggesting that it's not fair.
Yeah. Well, he says it isn't fair. He says disgraceful. It should be dismissed immediately.
Right.
And I got to tell you, if he would speak like that, I might support the guy.
Yeah.
The thing where he loses me, where I can't ever support Donald Trump and I won't vote for him, is because he makes people spew vitriol. Instead of getting to the point, instead of having like what Alan does when he's a mediator, you're on mute. You talk. We're going to let you hear out. We're going to hear the conversation. You're heard. Now let's think about what you really want. Like, Alan, if people that you're meeting with are just telling about their feelings about hating the other person, does that ever get to a settlement? Like, what do you do about that?
That conversation doesn't go on during any hour I'm part of.
Yeah?
Because the second that the husband and wife starts cross-talking, I shut them down and say, let's talk about the future. We're not concerned with feelings. We're looking at something that has to be put in black and white.
Yeah. And so when you say black and white, the point is, what is the productive conversation we can be having? How do we talk about tangible items? And when you just spew it, so
it's very conclusory, I would say. It doesn't really leave a conversation. Oh, it doesn't leave anything open for a conversation.
I think what you're saying, Andrew, is that it hurts his cause because he might otherwise have a legitimate argument here, but he's taking it to a level where he's just spewing this vitriol that nobody can take him seriously.
But he's also trying to trigger people.
If his case, in fact, should be dismissed for a selective prosecution or whatever, that's a fact. That's a judge going to make a decision. A bank of attorney of judges is going to make a decision. The vitriol that he's throwing in is because he's a bully. And he gave up crying. He doesn't cry anymore.
No more tears. He just does this.
He just counterattacks.
You talk about vitriol. For 35 years, I hated putting on a suit and going to court to battle matrimonial cases. I never did a lot. I did 3 or 4 days a month I would go to court. And it was just a toxic place to be with vitriol all over the place. And now I sit here with the
Yeah, vitriol is no fun.
Now you're a leapcaster.
I am completely chill now with zero responsibility.
But I want to get into this conversation because I agree and disagree with what Alan said. Yes, it's a court conversation. But I would be fine if Trump said the law should be changed and we need to have a campaign to change the law and make this dismissible under selective prosecution. And here's the new standard I'm proposing. That's what I expect out of a politician. And so to Morty's point, when you're asking about this, what'd you ask? Say it again.
I think I asked two different things, no?
Ask one of them.
I think the first thing was, why is there a gag order?
Well, we did that one.
There's no jury. Does the judge have, and you said it's so he could stand up to his staff, but what gives him, what legal support does he have for that?
All right, so let's start off with the why there's a gag order, just as a policy thing. The gag order is not trying to change the result of the case. The gag order is trying to say you can't intimidate my staff into not working. So it's an intimidation. As you know, a clerk writes a lot of decisions. If the clerk is intimidated by Trump, the wording that goes into the ultimate decision might be changed because she fears for her health and safety. Now, the question, and that's a separate question, is that permitted under the First Amendment? But let's start off with the first part. The first part, as Alan and I were just discussing, is about this selective prosecution thing. And people raise selective prosecution all the time. And I'm going to read you a quote that I really like that's a quote from famous cases. It's actually from Waite v. United States. The government retains broad discretion as to whom to prosecute because the decision to prosecute is particularly ill-suited to judicial review. What does that mean? It means generally there is no selective prosecution claim. It's really hard to get a selective prosecution claim. Why is it really hard to get a selective prosecution claim? Because at the end of the day, you need to always make choices. There's scarce resources. Resources aren't just money. There's right. time. Right, Alex? Like yeah. you can't prosecute everyone. So the question becomes is things being done in an improper way? Is it motivated by something that's not allowed? And there's factors that they should be considering. What's the strength of the case? A lot of people are saying when they read about this Trump case, it's just like this thing the Dems are doing and they're not prosecuting. But that doesn't mean that the strength of the case is equal. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it's not. The prosecution's general deterrence value. It might be more deterrent for one defendant as opposed to another.
Right. You should probably unpack that a little bit.
Well, why don't you help me?
Well, as a law student, they teach you in criminal law that the part of the purpose of the law is or prosecuting is to deter others from committing such crimes.
Yeah.
Right?
So the question is, how can we help it so it's not going to make other people do it?
Right. Like I would say the deterrence factor is pretty high in this particular case.
Maybe. And so but the point is that there's a lot of factors that they have to look at. And generally, we don't have selective prosecution as a way to get out of a case. But here comes the secondary question. Let's assume Trump says they should make it selective prosecution. They should make a means to dismiss. And I'm fine with that policy discussion. Maybe what Trump should be campaigning on, if he wants to run for office, is saying, not the government's out to get all of you. I'm the thing in between you and the government.
Right.
Like he does. Maybe he should instead saying, we need to have
policy
even-handed
initiatives.
Yeah, policy.
That's genius.
Let's have even-handed.
You should be his campaign manager.
Trump, I'm not available.
So, I'm busy.
He doesn't pay.
Yeah, but then he'd go down in the polls.
Yeah, and he'd bring you
do
down
you think
with
he'd
him
go
at
down
some
down
point.
I do. Because
I think the crazies, it wouldn't be crazy enough for the crazies, but I don't think it'd be normal enough for other people to start voting for him.
You don't think that society today wants equal prosecution? I think people, a big point is equal prosecution.
Yeah, if Nikki Haley said it, I think she'd go sky up in the polls.
Why can't Trump say it too?
I don't think he can rehabilitate himself.
Oh, well, fine. Okay.
Wow.
But he can.
But the point is,
I agree.
The point is overall, Morty, and I think your discount is like someone saying we don't need gun laws because criminals don't follow laws. Well, if that's the case, then we should have no laws because criminals follow no laws.
I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but his goal is to become president, that's going
to
hurt him.
What? To say the exact same thing?
But you think he's damned anyway, don't you?
Well, Morty, let me rephrase.
I think he's going to be the nominee.
Well, let me rephrase, and you tell me if you disagree. You think that if he put out a Truth Social or tweet or something like that said, This case is selective prosecution. They're targeting me because I'm the front runner. We need to reform our laws. And when I'm elected, I'm going to make sure that there's a way and a method on when they're doing prosecutions. So if everyone is not equally prosecuted, cases will be dismissed. Well, you think that's going to hurt him?
It's a very presidential thing to say.
Exactly.
Very un-Trumpy.
What, Lauren? What do you want to say?
I think that's well-reasoned.
Go ahead.
Lauren's got something.
Sorry. I was going to say for the American people, it's just a
What about the Canadians?
It's a witch hunt. That's what people understand. If they hear those words, they're going to
But that's
freak
not
out.
What he said.
They just need to hear things like witch hunt.
Whoa. Hey. Just to go back, Lauren, he didn't say witch hunt. He said this conversation is Schumer's girlfriend, Allison R. Greenfeld, is running this case against me. How disgraceful.
I kind of agree with Lauren, honestly.
This case should be dismissed immediately. Why couldn't he write witch hunt? Witch hunt, to me, is in vitriol. He went after the clerk.
Right. He's attacked.
He's attacking someone through scorn and hate.
And that's what his supporters like about
and
him.
Yeah. No, because his supporters all say witch hunt every... You should see my responses when I go on. Witch hunt, Trump right. 2024, witch hunt, Trump 2024.
Don't you think his followers, though, will be saying that on this post?
I think his followers now are targeting Alison Greenfeld.
Yeah.
And I think his followers right now are calling her a slut. And I think his followers
right. sleeping yeah. with the judge.
Is sleeping with the judge. And right. I think his followers are now making her out to be this caricature. And I think this is why we have hatred and violence in our society today.
Yeah.
And I think, and I agree, it's not Trump's image. But the point isn't, this isn't a Trump show. We're not like saying, how do we rehabilitate Trump? We're saying, what is a more productive discourse?
Oh, I definitely agree with you that it's more productive.
And the question becomes, in a more productive discourse, to the first question, could we write, Alan Finkel's a very smart guy. He's been a lawyer for a long, long time. Morty's a very smart guy, lawyer, long time. This gal over here is like
a baby lawyer.
is like a little genius. And so yeah, I think if we have the four of us together and Trump came to us, I'm not saying he did, and he said, this is bullshit. They're only prosecuting me because I'm a leading Republican. When you do selective prosecution, that's not selective prosecution. You have to have a comparator. Right. They're not... Right. Is it because they're not leading? Is there not because they're not Republicans?
Right.
What does leading mean? How far ahead do you have to be? What about the FTX guy? He's getting prosecuted right now. He was one of Biden's top fundraisers. I don't know if you all know. Sam Bankman-Fried, you know, the SBF?
I actually don't know.
You don't know about him?
No.
He was the guy, FTX, which is the crypto exchange.
Yeah.
And he was taking the money from his crypto exchange and putting it into his hedge fund. And they're saying he stole billions and billions and billions of dollars.
Right.
And this guy was extradited from the Bahamas. And this guy, just to tell you, was inquiring if Trump would take $5 billion not to run for office. There's lots of reporting about that. And he was one of Biden's biggest donors. And his ass is in jail in Brooklyn right now because they took his bail because he was putting on technology on his parents' router system when he was on home confinement so he could watch football games without the judge seeing it. And then he was writing emails to the new president of FTX. And they took his tushy and they put him in jail. This right. guy's on trial for fraud for years and years and years in jail from SDNY. So right.
Are you
saying
that's the comparator?
Yeah. His goal was to bribe Trump not to run for office. You right. can't get more Democratic than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question becomes, is it selective prosecution? If they're both being tried for fraud, which they both are.
Right.
And one is getting tried that's a Republican and one's a Democrat. Where is the standard is where my question is.
Right.
My question is it because Trump is actually running for politics? Are we doing a comparator also has to be running for office? Would that therefore mean that you could only prosecute a Republican if you also want to prosecute a Democrat, even if the Democrat was not committing the same crimes? How would you measure that comparison is what I'm trying to understand.
Right. I think it's more selective investigation.
Sam disagrees.
Well, I think that's his best argument because Tish James is on the campaign trail
okay.
saying, we're going to get Trump. She didn't say what she's going to get Trump for. She didn't say Does she have cause to investigate? She just says, we're going to go and we're going to get Trump.
So is your position, just so we're clear,
yeah,
that if someone running for a prosecutorial job, whether it's AG, DA...
Can't pick someone out at random and say,
I'm going to go... If they say that, I want to know, is it therefore that person then gets immunity throughout the course that the person's serving in office? Meaning, if I'm running to be DA and I go, I hate Finkel, I want Finkel to go to jail, as soon as I become in office, is Finkel now immune and could do whatever the hell he wants and I can't prosecute Finkel? Is that your standard?
That's not standard. That's a potential remedy. I haven't thought about the remedy.
Well, otherwise, to prevent her from saying that, wouldn't that be a First Amendment violation to say someone running for office can't say they think someone's a criminal and they want to prosecute
without
the person?
Without any basis whatsoever?
Well, then the question becomes, if there's no basis, couldn't that person then sue them for defamation?
Perhaps.
Okay, so Trump should sue Tish Jane for defamation.
Perhaps.
Right.
He has a predicament that the judge already found in summary judgment that Trump committed fraud, which would make it true what Tish James said, which therefore Trump would lose your defamation case.
Right. But I guess my point is more what gave her the ability initially to start investigating all the details and all the documents related to Trump's business.
Is your point?
Did she have any basis to go and start doing that as opposed to a different real estate business in New York?
So is your point, just to be clear, forgetting selective prosecution, we'll move off of that, is your point that we should pass a new law, maybe you're right, maybe Trump should be right in this, that a DA, a AG, an AUSA, even the police department cannot start an investigation unless they get, for example, an anonymous source tip.
Probable cause.
Yeah, some sort of cause, yeah.
So you want, just so we're clear, a cause before probable cause.
Well, I don't. Do we know what triggered her to start?
I have no idea. Okay. I'm just asking a question.
But I like that angle more.
Yeah, some sort of cause, yeah.
So just so we're clear.
Selective prosecution.
Watch this.
Going after Trump with this.
Yeah, no, I got it. So my question, though, is let's assume that she selected him. She wants to go after him.
Correct.
But isn't the problem with that she actually got summary judgment on it? And so his only point on that is that she wanted to go after him, but he actually did it.
Well, that's just an aspect of it, right?
Well, it's a big aspect.
Right. Yeah, my issue is what gave her the right to start this without any reasonable belief that he did something wrong.
So my question becomes, again, just to go to what both of you are saying, I'm not disagreeing. I just want to understand the standard. I just need a standard to work off of. Is our understanding moving forward, if we were we have King Finkel here, Alan becomes the king, we wouldn't need a monarchy. They're doing it right in Britain.
By the way, when I think about a king, I think about somebody who has hair like him.
His perfect hair.
Yeah.
He really does. And so what I'm thinking,
I can see the crown right on
it. It would perch. So, and you know when he nodded,
put some oil on his head.
It would be dripping brown stuff like Giuliani.
That's awesome. So the standard, to go loop back though, is that if someone who's running for office says something about someone before they get in office as a prosecutor, they need something in between nothing and probable cause to start an investigation. Otherwise, that person has immunity. Meaning that if she said nothing about me, Tish James, she's running for office, mute, not a word. She hates me in her head because you can't know what's going on in their head. As soon as she goes in office, she goes, let's open an investigation against Lieb. That's copacetic with you guys. But by her saying it, I just want to make sure I'm understanding, there needs to be something, whether it's a tip, a writing, a inclination, a witness, something that gives rise to give her, should be, basically what you're saying is prosecutors lose prosecutorial discretion. As soon as they say someone's name as to that individual, until something else reinvigorates their discretion, if they said that on the campaign trail. Is that your point, Morty?
No.
Oh my gosh.
She can say whatever she wants to say. All I'm saying is that if there were a standard that...
We're making one.
Yeah. So if there were a standard as to when you can start fully investigating somebody, then those statements would go towards evidence showing that she violated that standard.
Well, my question... Yeah. So so let me say it again. You're saying if there was a standard, that should be evidence that she violated the standard.
Yeah, she can say whatever she wants.
Okay, so the question becomes, what is the standard?
I know.
Well, I'm asking you.
I was just trying to clarify.
Yeah, but your point is
some sort of cause.
But your point is
someone's going to give them a tip.
Make it up, Morty. You're the king in this one.
Somebody has to give them a tip. Somebody has to give some evidence of wrongdoing. She can't just start asking for.
She has evidence of wrongdoing.
Right after she went and asked for thousands of pages of documents.
How do you know?
Because when she was talking in the campaign trail, she didn't say anything. She would have said something.
But your point is when she asked for thousands of pages of documents, there was time in between her campaign trail and when she asked for the 1,000 pages of documents.
Right.
So my question
is. That's what I asked before. I don't know. What triggered her to start the investigation?
But she started on the campaign trail just to slow down the roll.
Yeah.
And my point is, how do we know something she didn't discover before she asked for the documents when she was in office and the campaign trail let her discover that thing?
Maybe could we be. Need I more disclosure.
That's what I asked in the beginning. That's like why I asked what triggered her to start investigating.
But my question is, if she's triggered to start investigating, because I think you're changing the standard right now, is the standard investigating or demanding documents from the target?
I think demanding is part of the investigation.
Yeah, but investigating could start with, hi, Lauren, you're on an investigation team. We're looking into Trump. Is that investigating? Is investigating, hey, Lauren, we'd like you to go pull the bank records that you can find online about Trump and Google everything you can find about Trump. Is that investigating?
What was the trigger?
No, my question is that investigating under the definition?
Right, right. What constitutes investigating?
Right, those two separate questions.
Yeah.
Well, you're saying I just want to slow down because you're saying she should not have demanded the records unless something triggered. And I'm agreeing with that statement. But my question is, in between requesting the records and saying on the campaign trail she wants Trump, can she do other things? That's all I want to know. That isn't selective prosecution in looking into Trump before asking the question in your standard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you would enforce a higher standard there, but sure, let her talk to whoever she wants, but I wouldn't allow her to subpoena documents and things like that unless she has some sort of cause.
So your point is that a subpoena should require probable cause on documents, which we can agree with, but before that, any prosecutor, if they campaign that they're going after Lieb, is allowed to use the office of the prosecutor to look into Lieb absent a subpoena so long as that they don't ask for documents from Lieb.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it, but I don't see how you can have a standard, a harsher standard to enforce that.
Well, maybe Trump could make that rule. Like, but the whole rule that I'm trying to understand is, are we okay with... If I campaign that I'm against, for example, John Gotti, like people didn't like John Gotti. I go, I'm a prosecutor. I'm going to take down the mob. I'm going to take down John Gotti. You all remember how that all happened?
Yeah. He's dead.
I know. That's why I used him. So he's not going to kill me. You think I'm going to use someone who's a real gangster today?
He's got relatives.
No, but let's assume we say growing up Gotti. So the thing is, let's assume I said that on the campaign trail. Does that mean I'm not allowed to investigate Gotti as soon as I get in office?
I don't think so.
I don't see how you could have that standard. Don't you want a prosecutor who's saying, if I'm elected, this is what my priority in office is, and because it's my priority in office, doesn't make it selective prosecution?
If you're going after Gotti because he's a bad guy, you should be able to say that during your campaign and get in after your campaign and prosecute him.
Well, isn't that
reason to believe he's a bad guy?
That's what the question
sort of standard.
Well, yeah,
that's the question.
Right, but in the case of John Gotti, there was substantive under stuff that they could prove.
I would point out that in many people's viewpoint, the same standard applies to Trump. Meaning lots of people for a long, long time have thought he's smoke and mirrors. Now, I'm not saying all of the U.S. I would say there's a good dividing line, 50%.
I would say it's reasonable to believe that.
But I would say to you that it did pop that the summary judgment sort of kind of agrees with this standard. But to Trump's point, again, I don't want to live in a world where people feel like that we have a two-tier justice system. Let's start off with that. I don't want to live in a world without legitimacy in the judicial system. I don't want to live in a world where people think the Dems are controlling the courts. I don't want to live in a world where people don't trust that we're having fair justice. And I think that Trump raises a very valid point here. It feels unfair for exactly what Morty is saying. But the question is, how do you fix it? And I think the way you fix it is we might need a standard that says you have to have X, Y, Z before you're allowed to make demands, subpoenas, otherwise, as the AG, in an investigation. I'm fine with that one, Morty. But I would posit to you, Morty, I don't know how you feel about this, that there should be nothing that stops them from using the office to start an internal investigation as long as they're not making demands and et ceteras of the person. And I think that has to be the standard, because I really want a candidate that's running for office that's going to tell me they're pursuing Gotti. And then I get to decide when I'm voting, do I want to pursue Gotti? Like, the AG is an elected position. Like, I want to be able to decide if this elected official, it has my priorities in heart.
That should be the standard.
Yeah.
So what, in a sentence for the listeners, what's the standard?
I think the standard's very simple. It goes like this.
But then I'd rather, if she's going to say that, I'd rather her say, I'm going to go after real estate businesses in New York City that are inflating property values.
Right, like not targeting the...
Exactly. Just to be clear, mm-hmm. and then I'll go back to your statement. Yeah. I don't think that this is a real estate case. I know a lot of people call it a real estate case.
You get my point.
I do, but I want to clarify for everyone else, not for you, that I think the priority is she's going after fraudsters in New York City. And real estate just happens to be the asset that he mischaracterized the value upon. But he could have done it on software as well. Like, it's not relevant that it's real estate.
It's an accounting case.
It's an accounting case. It's not like a lot of people are like, the real estate people say. Like, it's not, you're not a real estate expert. You're a fraud expert and an accounting expert on this case. But to your point, Morty, to your point, are you saying, and maybe you're not, maybe you are, should we pass a law? Should we change the Constitution? Should we, and I'm not saying we should or we shouldn't, that says people campaigning for prosecutorial offices are not allowed to reference or target individuals or companies as part of their campaigning. They can only target categories of enforcement. Is that something you want to support?
I would support that, yeah.
Okay. I think that's a legitimate thing, and I think we could all get behind that.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. So if Trump wrote that, I could get behind that.
He wants to be vitriolic.
He does, I know.
It's true. That's why we're doing this.
It amazes me to this day that there are so many people who are still this guy's crew. It astounds me that we have that many people.
I agree.
That are like that.
And
by the way, he's saying that as he's wearing a MAGA shirt
and a crown. Don't forget.
The audience, how many times you voted for Trump?
Laura, no one can hear you.
I voted for Trump twice.
Yeah. So just to put it out there, he's not an anti-Trumper. While we're having this conversation,
well, that's not really true.
Well, he was not an anti-Trumper.
Was right.
Intense. I apologize, but I want to be clear about this. That. I think America, Morty's right. There's a swath, I can't remember that word right. It's a swath of America
swath.
That completely wants someone who has vitriol. And that's how Trump won. When Obama won, there was a swath of America that wanted hope and they wanted optimism. And that's how Obama won. Mm. And I think we go through different periods of America. And Trump hit it on the nail in the period he did it. But I think that period's over, Morty. And I think there's a lot of people that do want vitriol still. But I think there's a lot of people that are just exhausted with the vitriol. And they want to instead have productive conversations.
Progress.
Progress.
Let's move things forward. If there are problems, let's do something about it.
And we can have the problem solved different ways than I like it. It doesn't have to be the way I like it. Like,
but let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. And I think on Donald Trump, he wrote our script today. Donald Trump, thank you, Donald. You told us that we should be talking about the fact that, yeah, selective prosecution is a problem. How do we solve that? Morty, you bring up this gag order situation. We don't have much time to go over it. But when we do it, First Amendment protects about the gag order. And the question becomes, where's the line? And I think the key to this gag order and why the judge is allowed to do it is because how narrow it is. All he's saying is, don't talk about my staff that's behind the scenes. And I got to tell you, I don't know if that stands up for constitutional scrutiny besides case law says it does. But let's assume it doesn't. I want to pass a law that says you can't attack the judge's staff. I believe that that's a law we should have in our society.
I'm sure that's a law now.
Yeah, like it should be. It just makes sense. Like, it's ridiculous.
They're civil servants. They're working for the job. They're not making decisions. They're processing pieces of paper.
Right.
They don't choose this case.
They're officers of the court.
And to suggest that the girlfriend, let's assume it's not Chuck Schumer's girlfriend. Let's assume it's just some clerk for, it's not, but let's just, it's some clerk. A judge doesn't even pick which stupid cases they get. It's a random assignment.
Right.
And by the way, the AG files a case, not the judge. So the concept that a clerk somehow would have power to choose the case going forward in the first place is so asinine. And so it's polarizing and delegitimizing our judicial system and hurting individuals who are civil servants, as Alan says, who are not rich people. Like, you don't make a bundle being a civil servant working in the court system. It's not a bad job. It's just you're not going to be like going on a private jet next week. Like, yes, they work hard.
I find it hard to believe this judge, if given the opportunity, would pick to be a judge on this case. Who the hell would want to be a judge on this case?
And Morty, he's not even a criminal judge. He's like, yeah, he did personal injury trials, he was explaining. I bet he never expected a case like this on his docket his entire career. So I think we've solved two things about vitriol today. Number one, in the Leibkast law moving forward, we think that there should be some sort of limit on targeting individuals under the First Amendment when you're campaigning to be in office. As Morty suggests, you could target categories. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go after fraud.
Organized crime.
Organized crime. Right. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. But you can't talk about individuals. Number two, we don't think that someone who is an attorney general, a DA, should be able to subpoena or utilize the enforcement mechanisms, the forced enforcement mechanisms of their office, unless they have something beyond their desire. They need to have some evidence. Maybe it's not probable cause.
A rational basis.
Maybe they just need some evidence. I don't care what the standard is, but I think those two would solve the problem. And so the Leibkast wants to thank Alan Finkel for joining us. He's
King Alan.
I have arrived.
He's going to start Morty tilting his crown down like Chuck, so he could look down at, you know, and see. Well, look at this picture, right? See what, if we had his picture.
Yes.
It would be good, right?
Oh, God.
Anyway, we hope that you're figuring out a way to trigger vitriol in your life and turn it productive. This is the Leibkast.
Find us on social media at Listen to Leib or visit listentolieb.com.